Afternoon to you all. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 3, for which we'll read the first 13 verses of Ephesians chapter 3. Heading in my Bible is "The Mystery of the Gospel Revealed." For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Now that's a great passage. There's so many things in there of great and real richness for the Christian and for the unbeliever as well. But I want us to look this afternoon at the way and the manner of access to God. And our text for that will be from verse 12, and we'll look at other verses from the Bible as well. But the reality is that the fall of man in the Garden of Eden has had a profound effect upon the human race, and there has been none that have escaped it other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who was born of the Virgin in the Virgin's womb. This effect, the seriousness of that effect, is far greater than perhaps any of us can even imagine or dare to ponder upon. And its seriousness will be revealed to us as we realize the cost of what it took to redeem fallen man. It's only by looking at the cross of Christ that we can make any real estimate of the cost of our redemption and the seriousness from that which we have been redeemed. Mankind has become darkened, and his heart has been alienated from God. And that's the universal experience of human beings, that God seems so far away, seems so unreal, and few perhaps even imagine what God must be like, or think that he may have anything to do with their lives at all. And sin keeps us separated from God, unable to enjoy his presence and his favor. And in preaching in the open air, we used to use an illustration, which was often the case in Derby, of the clouds in the sky separating us from the effects of the sun. That sin separates us from the light and the favor of God upon fallen, sinful humankind. And sin, of course, exposes us to his severe displeasure, as we often preach the consequences of refusing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, and this is what Paul was here declaring, this work of redemption brings us near to God. It allows us access to him. By the death of Jesus, we have a new and a living way into the presence of God, into that holiest place of all. That's the wonder of the gospel and what it can do. Now God can descend to the sinner, and the sinner can ascend into the presence of God. Jesus is that way of access between man and God, between heaven and earth. And that's the subject of this text in verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look at it under three headings. First of all, our access to God. Secondly, the medium of our access to God. And thirdly, the manner of our access or approach to God. So firstly, our access to God. I'll make a statement. This access here is only available for the believer, or to the believer. The access is only available to the believer. It is an access through faith. Faith in Jesus. Of course, that needs some qualification as well. It doesn't mean that God does not hear the prayer of the unbeliever or the heathen, nor that God ignores them. But we will say that only those who have faith can please God. Only those who have faith can please God. And God commands everyone, everywhere, to repent. And the way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith, no man can please God. And the believer has a special access to God in three exercises. First of all, there is prayer. Prayer is speaking to God, telling God of our needs, making known to God our needs and requests, seeking his favour. And it's a two-way thing that the believer will experience through the Holy Spirit and through his word. God speaks to us when we pray, when we talk to him. It's not just a shopping list of requests that he gives us this and he gives us that he makes our lives comfortable, makes our way rosy, leads us along a primrose path. It's a two-way street, and often prayer can be a serious exercise and a painful one that we experience. And that's the way of prayer. Secondly, there is praise. We praise God. This is celebrating his divine goodness, thanking God for his mercy and his grace, speaking to him and extolling him and his name, giving thanks. It's the overflowing of the grateful soul in the presence of our God. So we worship him in praise. There's prayer and there's praise. And thirdly, there's meditation. This is the soul's silent communion with God. It's not an emptying of the mind. It's not attaining to a trance-like state of emptiness. It is filling our mind with the benefits that the Lord has given us, with his word. Meditating, thinking, reflecting upon God, what he has done, his creation, what he has done for us, his salvation, our relationship with him. It is emptying the mind often of clutter and rubbish that takes up our occupation, but it's a reflection and a thinking upon God. And I think it's a lost art for many. A reflection upon God and upon his word. For instance, when I sit down there and I look up at this wall hanging, that can become an object of meditation. As we consider the meaning of the words in themselves and for us. And other things as well. Particularly the word of God. We meditate. We think. And we reflect. Now, these three exercises may be separate or united exercises of the soul. We may do them separately, we may do them all at once in a course of time. They may be public or they may be private. But one thing is sure, our access to God should be frequent, so as to recognize God always and in all things. That is our access that we have into His presence. And it's a tremendous privilege that we can do so. Secondly, there is the medium of our access to God. How do we approach Him? And the key phrase in the text is, in whom? In whom? That is, in Christ. That is what is meant, preceding it, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul writes that He has blessed us, in chapter 1, He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Just take the weight of those words into your thoughts. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in anything else or anyone else. It's in Him. He is the medium of our access to God. God only holds spiritual communion with men and women through Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul writes elsewhere, there is one God and one mediator, etc. The Lord Jesus Christ. And in Old Testament times, God could only be approached through the medium of sacrifice, either one of blood or some other offering. God could only be approached through sacrifice. And it was ultimately one day of the year, and it was only one man, the high priest, who went into that holiest place of all with the blood of the covenant with him. That was the access to God in Old Testament times. How much more greater is the Christian has access to the presence of God. Often, when the Israelites felt the presence of God, it was a presence that gave them fear and trembling. It was accompanied by thunder and lightnings on the top of a mountain. There was the presence of God, and they were cowering down at the bottom. And it was only Moses and Joshua who were able to go up, but Moses ultimately to see the presence of God, whilst the rest cowered in fear as they received the commandments of the Lord. All of these things typified the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those things that we see recorded in the Pentateuch and beyond typified the Lord Jesus Christ, pointed towards Him. The Lord Jesus said that the Scriptures spoke of Him, that Moses spoke of Him. There is only one way into the holiest place of all. Sinners must be in Christ. There is no other way. In whom, Paul writes. We must be personally accepted in the beloved before our services can be acceptable to God. Before anything that we do can be acceptable to God, we must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our approach has to be distinguished by faith. We have to believe. Faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in His work on the cross. Faith in the person and work of Jesus. Faith that God accepts us in Christ, despite all of our shortcomings and faults. So Christ is the medium of our approach, our access to God. That access that we have through prayer, praise and meditation, Christ is the way, the only way of approach. And the remarkable thing here is the manner of our access or approach to God. The spirit in which we approach the thrice holy God is one of boldness and confidence. Boldness and confidence. And there have not been many recorded in the Old Testament who have approached God in that way. They are rare. But that is the way that Paul speaks about here. It's one of boldness and confidence. And the writer of the Hebrews also says, having therefore boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. Or another translation puts it, let us therefore come boldly. And here Paul writes of boldness and confidence. Let's just think about that for a moment. Boldness and confidence to access the Almighty, to enter into the presence of the one who is a consuming fire, to enter into the presence of the one who is all holy, and who is entering into his presence? You and I. And we're to do it boldly and with confidence. Where can we get that from? Who can give us that boldness and confidence? To many, it would look like irreverence. And often we think perhaps the form of our address can be irreverent as we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not one of irreverence. It's one of great reverence that we come into his presence. Perhaps to some it might seem to be self-righteous that we think that there is something in us that can approach this holy God, that we're worthy to be there. But it's not one of self-righteousness either. It's not one of complacency or presumption that we can presume to enter into the holy presence of God. And it's none of these things because we are not doing this of ourselves. I'm not entering into the presence of God based upon my merit, because I have none. But we must enter with boldness and confidence. It must be with a freedom and a liberty, with the expectation of being welcome. Boldness and confidence. This confidence, this boldness is based upon several things. First of all, it's based upon the nature of God. The nature of God. The being that we approach is not a despot. He is not a dictator. He is not malevolent. In fact, his name and his nature is love. He is full of mercy. We know this because he is the one who has made it possible to approach him. He isn't the one that broke the covenant of works. He isn't the one who took the fruit and fell. But he is the one who repaired things. He is the one who made things right. He is the one who made it possible through his grace to approach him with boldness and confidence. We have that confidence because of the nature of God. And we see that through what he has done. We have this confidence, and it's based upon his divine relationship to us. He is our Father. That is what the Lord Jesus taught us. That's how he taught us to pray. Our Father. He is our spiritual Father. those who approach with boldness are those who are born again through the Spirit of God. And we have that Spirit within us that dares to call him our Father. And he is the one who knows how to give good gifts to his children. He is the one who knows how to give good gifts to you and I. He is the one who has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So it's based upon his relationship to us as Father. This confidence is next based upon the delight that he expresses in the presence of his people. He wants us to have this access. He wants us to approach him through the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to pray. He wants us to praise and to meditate, to come into his presence, to have fellowship with him. He is not a far off, distant deity who has no relationship with mankind, who is so alien from us. He has come so close that he has walked this earth and has took upon himself flesh and became a true man and is true God. He invites us to draw near to him. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He has opened up the way of access to his presence. So this confidence is based upon his delight in our presence through the Lord Jesus Christ. This confidence is based also upon the record of his dealings with his people. We have the Bible. We have the record of God's dealing with mankind. And how often it is that man has had fellowship with God. How often man has been called to move close to God. And how often God has drawn near to man and had this relationship where some have even been called the friend of God. What a wonderful thing it is. The Bible is a record of how God has had fellowship with those that love him. It's also a warning, of course, to those who disobey him. So we are to approach him with confidence, even with boldness, and go into his presence through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood that he has shed on the cross, through the way of access that he has given to us through the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus. This leaves us with questions to answer personally. Have you got this access and approach to God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you in that position where you can draw near and approach God through the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour and Lord? Are you in Christ? That's only a question that you can answer. As a Christian, are you availing yourself of this privileged fellowship with God? Are you utilizing the full richness that he has given us? All these spiritual blessings that are available to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ and nowhere else. There are so many things to occupy our time that may detract from exercising this presence and fellowship with God so that it becomes just maybe a few moments a day or maybe in just a few moments a week or less. What a privilege that we have. And Paul was conscious of this richness and wrote about it. What a wonderful relationship that we can have through the Lord Jesus Christ with God, our Father, one of fellowship and joy, brought about by the blood of the cross that he shed for us there at Calvary. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonder of the gospel. Father, so often we do not appreciate even just a fraction of the blessing that it can give us. And the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, how often we fail to live as if Christ were our Lord, which he is. Help us to understand this and help us to practice the presence of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our lives. Help us to be obedient to the call of the gospel and believe and trust in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross and celebrate the new life that he has opened up for us through the veil of his flesh. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. And we pray that you'll bless it to us, that we will go away from here thinking about all your goodness towards us and rejoicing in that goodness and grace that you have shown sinful and fallen men and women. Men and women who still, despite our belief and our faith, are sinners, reliant in faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his presence with us today and ask that you bless us as we part. In his precious name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.